Well, hello. You are listening to Good Girl to Goddess. This is a show where you're going to see your patterns, own your power, and claim your potential. We're living in epic times for women, but it's up to us to create our own evolution revolution from the inside out. I'm Joy Balma, and I'm going to be your host on this adventure and your Good Girl to Goddess Sherpa. I'm a coach and author of women's empowerment books and personality typing. So are you ready to go from good girl to goddess? Let's do this.
Well, hi, everyone. It's Joy Balma, and I'm talking to the fabulous Lisa Starhia. Are you laughing already?
You're like, pause. I know. My name is a little strange. It's
Starhia. Starhia. Okay.
There you go. That's okay. It's a funky name.
I always do pause a little bit on that, make sure I get it right. Well, listen, we are going to have a lot of fun today and talk about how the good girl may be sabotaging our relationship with ourselves, you know, like the most important relationship there is. We're in our heads all day long. We might as well bring our self-mastery to how we treat ourselves. Mm-hmm. And Lisa is body image coach, or how would you describe your...
Well, okay, by trade, by profession, registered dietitian for 25 plus years. I also hold a master's in applied behavioral science. I've done
everything. Well, you're a badass. I had no idea you had all this under the hood there.
You didn't? Oh, well, there you go.
No.
Yeah, education junkie. I always thought I was going to get my PhD, but...
Yeah.
Nah, I'd rather have certifications and things like that. So I have a little bit of everything. So I do a lot of wellness, body image, self-esteem, communication, stress management,
right. Lots
of stuff.
Right. How to be healthier, happier people.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are going to have a little, you know, kitchen table wisdom here about how the good girl may be sabotaging your relationship with your self-love, and that would include your body image, how you feel about yourself. And so we thought we would just drop some wisdom bombs about the good girl here and how she may be in the way. So
I
Lisa,
like
what's
it.
The first thing, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you when you think of the good girl and how she could be sabotaging your self-love?
What image comes to mind? Me, because I am, as you say in the book, a recovering good girl. Yeah, I have it so deep in my bones, it's in my marrow, and I really work on it on a day-to-day basis. It's that don't speak up, put everyone else first. I mean, I've gotten better, definitely, and I love your book because it was like, oh, my God, this is such great stuff. So, yeah.
Said in the very beginning is don't speak up and put your needs last. And, you know, I say in the book also that sort of thing can lead to, like, when we stuffing our feelings and, it's like, then you can express that by overeating, overshopping, or like you're not getting your needs met, your emotional needs met.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's so important to be expressed and to share your feelings. You know, if you don't have that in your close relationships, you need a therapist. You need somebody to be expressing. There's nothing worse than stuffing feelings and not being able to process through them.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, in fact, you said something early when you were describing, you said, we live in our heads. And I said, yeah. And my immediately went to, we never live in our bodies.
Right. So we get really disconnected. And so that's one thing, is that we're just not processing and letting ourselves have, you know, our real feelings, or we're trying to please everybody. We're trying to, like, put on a face or a facade, or like, oh, I'm perfect. You know, nothing wrong with me. What do you need? I'll just take care of I'm fine.
I'm fine. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? It's like, no, I'm like, you know, you could have a leg cut off and you're limping along because you strapped it back on. You're like, no, don't worry about me. What can I do? Yeah, dangling, you know. Oh, okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's very true that we're really good about stuffing our feelings. And one of the things I learned in getting my master's was we all have our own flavor of dysfunction growing up in our families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not exactly like we have, we have a dysfunctional world in many, many, many respects. So I think addictions are so easy, whether it be food, drink, alcohol, cigarettes, shopping, gambling. I mean, there's so many, it can go on and on.
To distract from just processing through feelings have you ever met someone and you just, it's like you can feel like they've just got like a backlog of they're like ready to blow, you know? It's like, oh my God.
Yes,
you could say pink poodle and they're like, oh, they're after you. It doesn't matter what you say. They need a target, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how
you
do you stay grounded when that's coming at you? Is very.
Right. It's like it's all their past stuff. It's like, this has nothing to do with the present moment that you're. But I say that in the book, The Unappreciated Good Girl, is that she's like a powder keg. Mm-hmm. And before that, she's like compliant, complacent, easygoing. Mm-hmm. And then once she becomes, you know, backlog with her emotions, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's like a powder keg. And you're like, well, where can I hide, you know, to get away from this? Because they just got to unleash, you know, all this pent up, all these emotions that have just gotten stuffed and kind of impacted. Also affects your health. And, you know, I have a background as an acupuncturist before I started writing my books and what have you and doing more full-time coaching. And so after 15 years of working with people, I figured it out. It's like, if you can get them to talk about something that hasn't been talked about, mm-hmm. like people will come in with back pain and like you get them to have a conversation about something that they've been withholding.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I don't have back pain anymore, or I don't have headaches anymore, or my foot doesn't hurt. I mean, it's really, it became so routine that, mm-hmm. you know, that was the first thing I'd probably start to say is, you know, illness is often emotionally related. And you know, in Chinese medicine, points and the organ systems are related to emotions. So the liver is anger, the gallbladder is resentment. So sometimes what I would do is I would be pressed, instead of like directly saying you have resentment, I would be pushing on a point. And if it was tender, I would say, oh, this has to do with the resentment. And so that would trigger, often that would be all that was needed.
Oh, to trigger,
give them permission. You know, that's how I would get them to, not that they're going to like have that discussion with me necessarily, but it's hard to bring it up. And they could then process it and start getting it out because they wanted to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And they may not even known that's what it was until you even said something.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if you think about it, disease is dis-ease, you know. I remember when Candace Pert wrote The Molecules of Emotion, proving that emotions have physical chemistry, which you look at it now and go, well, of course it has chemistry. Like, you know, when people say you're being too emotional, it's like, yeah, and haven't you ever gotten really upset and suddenly what you just ate is like completely sour and you now have a gut ache and in physical pain? It's like, yeah, 10 minutes ago the food was fine. Now suddenly because of something that happened, like an intense, maybe negative emotion, it doesn't feel good. It's like, yeah, we are all connected. I know for me, when I'm doing the good girl and making sure, you know, everyone's needs are taken care of before me, I suffer. I might get more headaches. I might get more lethargic. I might, you know, turn to a nice glass of wine too often or, hey, let's order in kind of thing. Yeah, it's easy to do.
So I call it in the book like a sacred tightrope that we walk, mm-hmm. which is between the good girl and the diva within us. And the good girl says, you know, it's all about other people and what do you need and how can I help you? And the diva says, okay, how do I take care of myself in this? What do I need to do? And so she's always there sort of as a gatekeeper.
Right.
And we need that part of us. And so it's always exciting to watch women when they do this thing that I call learning to diva up, you know, when
mm-hmm.
they...
Yeah.
And whether it's like someone who's learned to express their emotions or found, you know, a way to do that. I mean, sometimes I feel like the universe, God, goddess, whatever you want to call it, helps us out. You know, it's like just at that right time. Like I noticed that also as an acupuncturist, it's like this person is coming to me at just the right time when they needed to, that they were ready to tear the scab off and heal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or not the scab, excuse me, that's gross. Tear the Band-Aid off. No,
yeah,
not,
that's a
not
visual.
The, yeah.
Thank you for that, Joy.
Yeah, sorry. Take the Band-Aid off and get to healing. And there's always someone that can enter your life when you're ready. It just feels like a domino of the right person, the right book, the right thing. But until then, you're sort of like waiting and stagnant. Mm-hmm. So whatever needs to be healed and revealed, let it happen. Mm-hmm. It's such a big thing with our self-love mastery has to do with our worthiness. In this 3D reality that we live on the surface of life, our worth is like always up for grabs every moment of every minute of every day. You know,
right.
Does my butt look big in these pants? Every little thing we do, you know, is this lipstick going to be too red? Or are we always questioning, is this the right thing? Or am I going to be accepted? Or am I going to be liked? Or, you know what I mean? Even when you get
absolutely.
Dressed in the morning, Am I getting, am I wearing the right thing for where I'm going? Like,
oh yeah. Is this acceptable? Do I look okay? Do I fit in? Oh yeah.
What we have to do to just get dressed sometimes is to go to different events or, you know, even just every day. We just always trying to fit in. Before I started doing a lot of this work myself, your worth is always up for grabs. Okay, so this is a great example, and every woman can relate to this. Okay, let's all sort of visually do this together, which is we go to try on new clothes, and you've gained some weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, no, this doesn't look, you know, everything is just like. And all of a sudden, your self-worth can go from, let's say you were feeling happy that day, and you realize, oh, my gosh, and it's just like, walk out of the store like a puddle of misery. And
yes.
You, like, I can't even deal with this. So our worth is always up for grabs depending on, you know, our weight or how we look or what people think of us or mm-hmm. if are they validating us or are we liked or are we not liked. It's just we're always on tender hooks, you know?
Yep.
And until you really do this deep inner work, I mean, I know that example of going into the dressing room for myself for sure, until one day after I'd done a lot of this work, you know, the clothes weren't fitting right, and you know, it just was just, and you know what, I was completely neutral. It's like I'm making absolutely no, this experience is neutral. I am putting a lot of, I'm putting this mess, I put no meaning on it in this, and I walked out and I said, oh my gosh, that may be the first time I've ever not like dumped this whole bucket of crap on myself because I was just not fitting into what I usually would fit into, you know, many years ago, let's be honest. But, you know, it's like, but, you know, it takes a lot. What I'm saying is to get to that point, I think, for a woman and really for the good girl who's always trying to please other people, is really a sign of self-mastery, is that we're not putting judgments on a neutral experience.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And am I going to, you know, walk out of there and like say, hey, I'm going to fast for 2 weeks or something, you know?
Right.
No, I'm not going to play these games with myself of self-abuse. So if you getting out of the cycle of self-abuse,
mm-hmm.
however that shows up, can you think of a way that besides that sort of example, like how else would you, in your life, would you like be like dumping a bunch of inadequacy script on yourself for like a, you know, something that is a neutral event?
But I love that example you just gave.
I know, it's a good one.
It is a good one. And actually, let me just say one thing about that.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned to do is if I find myself going down that really negative path of that self-abuse, of beating myself up, I would literally picture one of my dearest friends. And if she was there with me in the dressing room or outside the dressing room, would she even would I ever say these things to her?
I love that.
Would I ever say these things to her? And it was like, no, I wouldn't. And this came because one of my girlfriends, when I was beating myself up, she was over at my house visiting. We were having a lovely chat. And I was doing the whole typical, I can't believe I did that. What's wrong with me? Blah, blah. And I was just berating myself. Don't even remember what it was. And she very quietly and gently took her hand and she rested it on my arm, which startled me because I was in full blown beat myself. Oh, my God. I was the Olympic gold medalist of, you know, self, you know, flagellation.
Oh, my gosh.
Boom, 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 just beating myself over. And so, and then she just paused. I said, what? And she just goes, you know, she goes, you're beating up one of my dear friends. And I just kind of looked at her like, what? I'm talking about myself. She goes, I love my good friend, and it really hurts me when you are so mean to her. And it stopped me, and that happened probably a good 10 years ago. I still think of it. I can imagine as if it just happened right now. And it really, and I don't always do it, but when I find myself going down a path, I'll just say, okay, what would Sean be saying? Would I ever say those same words to her? No, I wouldn't. So be nice to the body that I'm in. Be nice to the person that I am, because I think it's really important.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to do is I used to not have friends over. Like right now I'm in the middle of this. So I have this new job, which is coming up on a year. And I didn't realize how long it takes to adjust to a new job. Oh, my God. Because I worked out of my house for so many years. Even when I had I had my own business, but then I also had – I worked a day job for a company, but I did it from home. So this whole getting used to it. So I'm coming up on a year. And so my house is in this complete disarray. truly.
Okay.
I've got boxes. We moved my mom, sold her house, so I've got all the photos, and they're taking up half this room, and blah, blah, blah. And so
oh my gosh.
I've been dealing with the good girl in so many ways. Number one, when I get home this summer, I have been redoing, gardening has been my therapy. It's my zen. Well, what that means is all this stuff that I've been trying to organize and sort through and take to the Goodwill and all this stuff is literally in a huge pile. Like this one room is a complete disaster. Just truly a disaster. You look at it, it's crazy. I mean, I've got everything from herbs drying on the ground to the photos to boxes I need to, you know, I need to return something and I got to keep the boxes. It's just nuts. And I haven't, because the good girl wants to make sure I always look good, I haven't invited a lot of friends over. So I imagine if you know, because it's like, well, you know, oh my God, look at my house, and it's a disaster, and it's dirty, and I haven't vacuumed in there in a while, and you know, there's dishes in the sink, and all this stuff. So I combated the good girl thing, and I finally, when I did this kind of like major project in my backyard, and I finally got everything planted, and it's my zen. I love my little garden back there. But I had her come over, and I just said, you know what? I don't care how does she really care about how my house looks? Does she care that I haven't, you know, this floor so dirty and so needs to be washed and mopped, but I haven't done it in weeks? I don't care. I mean, it was one of those, I've only got so much time. What is my priority? What's important to me? And I realized that my sanity and being in the outdoors during the summer, when I can, right,
absolutely,
is more important than having a perfect pristine. Now, someone can see me in my imperfect, dirty house state.
Woohoo! That's what I call self-mastery for sure. I mean, I love that story. And
it
you
was
know,
liberating.
You took care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you did what needed to be done because, you know, that was a lot of solace for you to work in the garden, and that is therapy. You know,
it
if
is.
You didn't do that, you would have had started to have a backlog of emotions and resentment, and I don't even think there's any question. You have to do what is healing for
mm-hmm.
you.
Oh, yeah. It's been incredibly healing for me. Being out and watering by hand every day and all that stuff. It's like, okay, dishes, I can do those when I get off work. I'm going to make sure I'm watering my garden because it's supposed to be over 80 today, blah, blah. You know, it's been an interesting thing this summer that all the things I thought I was going to get done, now that I'm kind of settling into this new job and this new routine, I'm like, whatever. I'll get to it when it starts raining out. But right now, I love being outside. And, you know,
so you have to make these decisions.
You do. Life is too short to worry about, I got stuff piled up in the corner. Oh, well. I mean, like, literally, oh, well. So what? Who really cares?
We don't judge ourselves for being who we are. Is it better to be a neatnik or someone who doesn't mind a little clutter? I mean, really, it's all about being true to you. And so
exactly.
For you, being true to you is to do the garden and take care of a lot of people you had to take care of, and that's what you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important that we give ourselves permission to feel our feelings and take care of ourselves and notice when we're beating ourselves up
mm-hmm.
and to say, you know, what is the point really of this? What is the point really of beating ourselves up? Where is this getting us to run this
whole...
What do
we get out of it? That's a good question. What are we getting out of it when we beat ourselves
up?
Yeah,
what are we getting ourselves out of it to make ourselves basically a victim of ourselves? I think it's anything less than perfection, we feel we really should beat ourselves up. Really should feel bad about this if we're not perfect, and we should apologize to somebody, or you know,
right.
Somebody should take the blame. Or so all this is part of our self-mastery. Can we be neutral mm-hmm. to events instead of dumping a bunch of story making onto it? Like we're going into the dressing room and it's like nothing's fitting, or you know what I decide now is that I'm looking for clothes that fit. I'm not angry because these clothes don't fit me. You know what I'm saying? There's a big difference.
Yeah.
It's like,
it is a big
difference. Where are those clothes that fit me? I got to go find those, you know.
Yeah. They're not here. Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Let's go in
there. There's no other story, and there's no other time. There's not one thought that has to do with, I mean, we can really trip out over the consequences of this tube top not fitting. You know what I mean? It's like...
Okay, let's face it. Tube tops don't look good on anybody. I don't care who you are. That's just a poor design, okay? You know, so, yeah. I think it's that simple, these aren't fitting me. That is such a beautiful statement.
You go out, you look for the clothes that do fit you.
There you go. What a novel concept. Okay, so this brand may not work for me. Yeah, well, we talk about clothes forever, but I think the good girl goes in so many different areas, everything from can you work late to but I notice when people are trying to integrate new healthy habits, right, that, oh, well, I don't have time because my kids need things. I have to do, you know, and they
right. And so that's another layer is the excuses. It's like fiercely guarding your time. So these are all tips, tools, and techniques for self-mastery, for self-love, fiercely protecting your time, and to put yourself in the equation, okay? And you do have permission to not beat yourself up. You do have permission to really kind of enjoy your imperfection. I'm sort of at that point in my life where it's like, it's what makes me. It's like, you know, whatever it is. I mean, just like you would say, a friend would say, hey, I love you just the way you are. You don't have to change anything, right? Mm-hmm. So why would we treat ourselves any differently? Right. Now, does that mean I'm going to stop working out and I'm going to eat, you know, Cheetos all day? Mm-hmm. You know, that's not an act of self-love either. So I do my part, but I'm not beating myself up because I don't have my 16-year-old body. It's just useless. It's
well, that's
no
a
fun.
Novel concept, yes. I know. And I've learned, you know, back to the, you know, my girlfriend coming over. You know what's ironic? She never once mentioned my dirty house. And even if she did, I go, yep, there's my pile of crap. And, you know, here's the other weird thing we do as women. We actually will point out what we don't want people to see.
Look at that pile over there. It's just a mess. I haven't had time. And we spend, like, 10 minutes, like, defending that we're not perfect.
Yes. So I wish we could do, like, a broadcast across the world simultaneously. Women, we all have messy houses, okay? We all could be healthier. We are beautiful the way we are. Our size is our size. You know, it's like I would just love it if women never apologized again for whatever.
Let's just start at that movement. Never apologize again. That's just it right now.
I like that. This is good.
Never apologize again for just showing up exactly who you are. I mean,
yes.
It's to stop playing this game that culture really puts upon us.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to be happy and rich and loved if you're dancing across the beach in a bikini in a size 4.
Yeah, because that happens all the time. Yeah, so I would say the only time I'm going to apologize is when I truly regret something that I did to either hurt someone unintentionally, offend, or, you know,
yes.
That kind of a thing. But other than
right.
just for me being me, oh, sorry, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Not doing that anymore. Just don't want to do that anymore. It's so exhausting. If you actually think about, because when we actually stand in our own power, man, we can get some major cool shit done. I mean,
exactly. Imagine if we took all this apologizing and all this delaying of everything and all this beating ourselves up, and we did. Imagine the energy that would be released.
Oh my God!
You know, to actually like do actions toward things that are beneficial
for ourselves and for the world.
Exactly. Like what I talk about in the book is that our diva empowers the good girl.
Yes.
To be effective in the world. And without her, I mean, this is like serious stuff. This is the key. Like, you do not want to live your life as a disempowered good girl. It's just no fun. It's no fun. And so many women are. Well, you can read all about it in the book. And this is
which
just
I love. Okay, I have to interrupt because I
okay.
love your book. It
Ew.
Is so user friendly. When I got it in the mail, I literally brought my little highlighter pens out, and I brought my little sticky things out. I was like, okay,
oh my gosh.
I like this. So she helps you learn, say no, close the sale, be decisive, follow your intuition, stand in your spotlight, acknowledge your growth. I go, oh yeah, I love this. And it's that. I think what really captured me, you had me at that, when you're talking about the good girl rules and the hidden meanings underneath them, okay? Give more than you receive becomes I don't have needs and desires. When I started reading that list, I got to tell you, Joy, I was just like, oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God. And as a culture and what I watched in my mom and my other friends' moms, this is what we were all taught. And how do we – and it doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve us. And so to actually have tools to act, you know, that reminders of – what we need to do, I don't know. If you think about diva usually has this negative connotation and good girl has this positive connotation, and yet when we are the good girl and we don't empower ourselves, it's not good for anybody. Nobody.
Right.
So,
well, the good girl is not all good, and the diva is not all bad. That's the revelation on high. You know,
yes.
It's like, ooh, okay, let's, you know, because we really do, honestly, most women do believe, I believe, that the good girl is all good and the diva is all bad.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. We have got to flip the switch, because here are the hidden messages. I've just opened the book. If these messages that start as virtues, the good girl rules, turn into really what I call a virus of powerlessness, because their meaning flips. So give more than you receive flips and turns into, I don't have needs and desires. The rule that be humble and selfless, you know, that sounds like a virtue, right? Be humble and selfless. Okay, that was a big one for me. And it really flips into, I'm not important and I don't matter.
Right.
Don't be bossy, bitchy, controlling, or pushy means don't say anything. Don't tell your truth.
Yep.
And don't be greedy or focus on money turns to money's not important and I shouldn't be prosperous. We don't realize those are like a computer program that we're playing out, but we don't know what that really means.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and they start out as a virtue, so we take them on, and we don't, as you said, we don't understand the hidden message underneath it.
I was talking to one woman, and you know, she really likes her good girl, okay? Mm-hmm. And so she wasn't like too thrilled about this, right? She was just like, I don't crack my good girl code. I love my good girl. Like, she is working for me. But there was one thing that got her, which was that she realized that she didn't think that she should be prosperous, and she didn't understand why. And this had bothered her for years. Why don't I want to be prosperous? What is behind that? You know? And this book helped her to see what was behind it as the good girl, and it really helped her to open up to looking at this a little more, you know, a little more openness to, okay, maybe I could. It's not that the good girl has a chink in her armor, you know, because she is so freaking fabulous. She is the healer of the world. She's the heart of the world. There's nothing wrong with being a helper, a kind person, and I hope I make that clear in the book. It's like, I can be kind and tell my truth.
Yeah.
And I can be nice and keep a boundary. You know, I can still be good, kind, nice, and giving.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I can also keep a boundary, tell the truth, show up as my real self, and do what is best for me. And those have to come together, like, as, you know, two opposite things coming together as one. I have to ride that wave of both of these aspects. So we don't get too imbalanced. And then, because the result is, what is the result? Let's name some results and then we'll finish our talk.
Okay.
If we never look at our good girl, this may be playing out, which means you reject money.
Right.
You deny your dreams, desires, and ambitions and goals. You don't accomplish your goals. How about that? Okay, so you name a couple. What do you think?
Oh, you don't accomplish your goals. Well, for me, I always see it in health-wise. You know, you don't have the health you want because you don't put yourself as a priority, because everyone else come first. You don't have time to go to the gym or, you know, eat healthy. Or, you know, I see, I would say, it's almost like you exist. You don't really live.
You don't realize that you've abandoned yourself and you're betraying yourself. And so it's kind of like the more you look into this, it's like pulling a thread and realizing, wow, there's a lot here that I didn't really notice, you know, how I'm giving myself up, really betraying and abandoning yourself. And I say, you know, you don't want to leave a legacy of self-abandonment, right? Not only for yourself, but for your children. You don't want them to see, okay, this is what a good woman does. She empties herself out. I mean, I'm not going to stop being a helpful, compassionate person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not never going to change. It's just that this whole premise is really, it really does connect into like our true spirituality in the end, which is that we are worthy and we are powerful. And it's really taking ownership of this light that lives within us, and to stop like putting our light out in so many ways. And there's so many ways we can do that as good girls, because if you're just trying to please people and you're just trying to make yourself smaller and smaller and smaller, it doesn't lead to good relationships. You know, it doesn't lead to financial prosperity. It doesn't lead to business success. Okay, so these are all the things that, you know, the results. It doesn't lead to a healthy body, a healthy mind, a healthy spirit. It's really the heroine's quest, this whole thing that we're talking about. It's really the heroine's quest to go on the journey to discover your divine worth and your feminine power is God-given and it's inherent and it can never be extinguished. You are the light. Why would you treat yourself any less than the light, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've gone around
like
the world.
I know. I'm just saying. Well, you know what's so funny? You know the phrase, you know, do unto others as you would have, you know, do unto, yeah, yeah. Anyways, it's like almost like do unto yourself.
I love that.
As you do unto others. Because
I love that.
And I like the fact that you talk about the good girl. It's not black or white. It's not about, I mean, we're nurturers by nature. We're hardwired to be nurturers. Of course we're going to continue to do that. It's doing that not at the expense of ourselves anymore. It's doing it in a place from empowerment when you want to. I mean, I personally like it when people have good boundaries because I know when they say yes, they really mean it. Say yes,
right.
And you're like, oh, God, you could have just said no. I would have been totally happy with yeah.
And didn't you have those friends where you want to give them permission to say no? It's like,
yes, I do.
Because you know that they're going to try and displease you and not tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or have you ever had someone who like gives you is like real giving, but then all of a sudden they feel real resentful, and you're like, well, I can't help you with that, you know, because
right.
I didn't like yeah, that's straightforwardness.
To me, it's a gift. So
it's
I try to do the same thing to other people. It's like if I say yes, you can trust my yes. If I say no, it's a no, and there's a reason. So yeah, I just stirs your aunt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, be authentic. Be you. Love
be
it.
Authentic. Be you. Never apologize. Right. What was our movement? I've already forgotten. Never apologize.
Never apologize for being ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not that apologizing is bad. It's when it's just like, okay, stop doing the knee-jerk reaction of apologizing for existing. That's stupid.
Not apologizing for being myself. Yes. I love it. I love it. Well, we'll end with that. Get ready to blow the lid off your good girl box. All for now.
You've been listening to Good Girl to Goddess, the podcast that helps you get over your good girl and get on with your life. If you want more of this and to join the community, head on over to my website, joybalma.com, and subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a single episode.